איזושהי כפן.
כמוני? What do we know about Avraham Avinu? What do we know about Avraham Avinu? So we're told that he begins to ask questions when he's 3 years old. He tries every religion that was available then at the time, and he begins his philosophical investigations. And not only did he discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his own, but he discovered everything. He figured out every single mitzvah. Everything that he had to do in this world, he was able to figure out. And we know that his understanding of Hashem is a lot more than our own. Our understanding is limited compared to Avraham Avinu's. And he discovered everything. And he grew to the point where he discovered Nevuah. We know that if a Navi would come, a person would come and tell us that he had a vision, and Hashem has told him something that he's supposed to do, something's supposed to be done, you know, he has to be executed. He's a Navi Sheker. Prophecy Nevuah is something that you attain step by step. And Avraham achieved everything. He figured it out all on his own. But where do we find that investigation? Where do we find everything about Avraham Avinu? There's not a word about it. It all begins with the fanaticism, this craziness to want to do for other people. This drive to want to do for another person. And if we look through the beginning of the parasha, this kama diyukim, when you learn the Rashi's properly, it comes out the beauty of Avraham Avinu and the way he was so fanatic and so careful and so detailed about what he was doing to the Malachim, much deeper than the way we were brought up. So the parasha starts, as we know, with the description of Avraham Avinu, who's just after his Bris Milah, and he's sitting outside his tent. Hashem made it very hot that day, shouldn't be anyone there. And from the moment that there's three guests that are outside, all of a sudden you see the word rots, rots, rots coming in. He's running from the moment he sees them, there's a reason, so he's running backwards and forwards. But let's look at the Rashi and see some amazing depths into what Avraham Avinu is actually doing. So the first pasuk, he says, Vayomar Adonai, Imnom Atzasi Chem Beinecho. So the passage of the pasuk is, if my masters, if I find favor in your eyes. So Rashi there says, Rashi's got a diuk. Rashi says, Vayomar Adonai, so that is plural. So he's speaking to all of them. And the end it says, Imnom Atzasi Chem Beinecho, talking in the singular. So Rashi was going from plural to singular. So Rashi picks up and says, "The Legodol Shebehem Oma, the Korom Kulam Adonim." So what's Rashi saying? So Rashi's saying like this: that Avraham Avinu had a problem. He sees potential guests. He sees three men, and you can see that one of them is older. But he's worried that if he just talks to the older one, then he's going to be ignoring the other two in the first part of the conversation. So therefore, at the beginning, what he does is he draws them all in, he calls them all Adonai, all my masters, and then once he's got to bring them all in, give them that respect, then afterwards he then speaks to the old one to give the respect to the old one. He says, Beinecho, in your eyes, when he's talking to the God of Shabahem. That's the first part of the conversation. All this is going through his mind. How that he should be able to talk to the Rav, how he should talk to the Tamidim. He's trying to address all of them without disrespecting any of them, without slighting any of them in the smallest way. So he says, Adonai, my masters, Beloshen Rabbim, and then he says, Beinecho, in Beloshen Yachid. Then after the pasuk carries on, Yukach nomad, my rachter, aglechem, vishonu tachas eitz, ve'echo paslechem, v'sadu libchem. So Rashi there again, he says, Libchem, why doesn't he say Levavchem? Why doesn't he say Levavchem? He says Libchem. So Rashi says, Magid she'ein yetzer hara sholet b'melachim. But there's no Yetzirah, that's by Melachim. So, Pashtus, he thought they were human beings. So why, that's why he was feeding them. So why was he doing that? So, it's boiled down, if we really understand Rashi, what's really going on over here was he was treating them all as tzaddikim. And when you think you're hosting an angel, then you treat him in that way. He was giving them more cover by saying, I want to treat you like a malach. He was giving them the maximum respect. Then it carries on. He ran to get the animals, ben baka, rach v'toiv, gimel parim hayu, kidej la'achilom, gimel l'shonis b'chardam. He wanted to give them three tongues. Why do you want to give them three tongues? Because if you just cut for them a roast, you know, one big roast, so beef from one cow wouldn't be seen as individuals. So he wanted to show that for each and every one of you, I wanted to shecht one cow specially for you. So he goes and gets three lashonos from three different cows. He puts in the mustard, a little touch of an extra fine delicacy. All of this is going to the way Avraham Avinu is preparing for these guests. So he's running backwards and forwards from the moment he sees them. And later on in the parasha, in last week's parasha, he goes to the war with the mighty kings. Why? Because he sees the injustice. He sees injustice, and then in last week's parasha, when he goes to save Lot, why does he go to save Lot? Why is he saving Lot? Because he could have said something that might have killed them. So it's in appreciation of, he could have said something that would have killed them. And even though Sodom is something which is totally against, the opposite extreme of who Avraham Avinu was, he davens, he pleads with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's saying there's an injustice. He's demanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu something that, Kaviyachol, you've made a mistake. He's arguing with him. This is Avraham Avinu. But where's the philosophy? Where's the philosophy of Avraham Avinu who we talk about, who's the person who found Hashem? Where is he? Why don't we find him? Why don't we find that? All we see is this caring, this giving for humanity, the doing for everyone else. Where's the philosophy? Where is that? This thought, this thinking that went through Avraham Avinu's mind, his journey towards discovery. The pasuk says, "Kidat v'leman shesav esponu v'espeis ha'achrov." I love Avraham Avinu because he's going to teach his family and generations afterwards. Avraham Avinu was Avraham Ivri, the first Jew. And it all began with him. Going further, we know in the parasha it says, Vayita Eshal, he planted the Eshal. Some people say it was an inn, some people say it was a tree, an orchard. And what would happen? This was Avraham Avinu's form of kiruv. People would come in, and he would tell them to make a bracha, and he would ask them, where does it all come from? They would say, thank you so much. And he would say, I just want to process the food. But where did it all come from? All came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how, that was Avraham Avinu's form of kiruv. But we don't see any of the philosophical discussions that he had with people. And we know that Avraham Avinu was V'yikra B'Shem Hashem. He was the one who brought Hanafash Asher Asu B'choron. He was the one who brought people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How did he do it? We don't see any of these discussions that today might have to work. How was Avraham Avinu able to bring so many people closer? Going deeper, a deeper question is, what's the connection between the big Baalei Emunah, the Baalei Bedachon Avraham Avinu, and his chesed? Is there something there that can combine the two to put these two attributes together of who Avraham Avinu was? Just to show that there's a proof between the two, we say Shemona Esra, the care of Ram, the care of Ram. So the simple translation of the care of Ram is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealed in the world through the middah of Avraham Avinu. Through Avraham Avinu's chesed, Hashem was revealed into the world. That is the first step of Emunah. Seems that chesed is the first step of Emunah, Avraham Avinu is the first one. But how? How is it that is the first step? So we know, it's pulled down from, I'm sure you've heard it here before, that there's a difference between rachamim and chesed. So, you ask people, you see someone on the streets, just the other day I was in Liverpool, and just outside the petrol station there's someone standing right there, on the floor, and I got their hand out. when you go and just give whatever it is to that person, where does the middah come from? That is reactionary. That's rachamim. That's responding with mercy. You know, for someone to just walk past and not do anything, to, when see someone in pain, that's a middah of achzar. It's you're feeling bad. It's guilty. It's getting something off your back. The rest of the day, it'll play on our mind if we didn't do anything about it. So it's just getting it off our back. But what's the middah of chesed? The middah of chesed is you don't wait for anything. It's being proactive. It's not waiting for something to come to you. Rather, you're doing it because that is the right thing to do. I need to do something. It's not reactionary. It's my obligation to do something. Because who I am, that chiyuv of being a Baal Chesed. And there's a big nafke minna between the two. There's a big nafke minna between rachamim and chesed. Because most mitzvahs, there's obligations. For example, there's tefillin, there's benching, there's maisas. Chesed is one of those obligations. Saying that I have a duty of kindness, of something proactive, of something objective that I have a chiyuv to do. So, you know, they say, I think it was Rapam who said, you can have a person who's on a Sunday, he's seeing people after, he's a Baal Stocker, and there's people coming to his house, and they're all he's seeing one person after another, and then he looks at his clock, it's 10 o'clock, and he walks out of the house, and he sees someone who's walking towards his door. So he thinks to himself, oh, I saved myself a couple of minutes. So Rapam used to say that all he was doing was rachmi. People coming to his house and him reacting to it. Chesed means that I'm proactive. I need to do something. So you have a person at the end of the day, he's doing his cheshbon and nefesh, and he's sitting there and he's thinking to himself, you know, what have I done today? So he's ticking off the list. I davened, Kriya Shema, paid school fees, time with the family. And now he thinks to himself, I've done a good job, it's been a good day. That's a Baal Rachman. That's the middle of Rachman. The Baal Chesed, when he's making his cheshbon and nefesh of the day, of his week, of his year, he's asking himself, did I miss out my chiyuv of chesed? It's not pshat reactionary. Pshat is, what was I doing today to be able to, that's a tick of the list. It's Kriya Shema, it's tefillin, it's tzedakah, it's mitzvah, it's benching. And then my chiyuv of tzedakah as well. It's not waiting for something to come to me, it's me doing something as well. It's a pure act of altruism. I'm not waiting for something to come to me, because that opportunity might never come round. This explains why Avraham Avinu, he was traveling forward, he was moving around, because he was looking for those moments to be able to do chesed. But it goes deeper than that. These two middahs go a lot deeper than that. Chesed, there's two ways of treating a person. Rachamim, when you treat someone with the middah of Rachamim, how does the person feel? The person feels that they had a need, and I fulfilled the need that they lacked. So what you're doing is, how do you make the person feel? So the person, let's say, for example, the Rambam says, in the mitzvah saseh shel devrim, levake cholim and lachim avelim, so there's a mitzvah of bikur cholim, then he carries on and he says like this, that the mitzvah of halvoya, of escorting someone out, is meruba min hakol. And that was the chok that Avraham Avinu gave us. And he said, v'derech cheshe shnog bo machu loy v'drochim u'mashke yisom, he gave him to eat, he gave him to drink. And then he says, "Shlem of Yahweh, in the shoshu levoyim yosem olavoyim yosem achnasos." The highest form of chesed in the mitzvah of achnasos achim isn't the food, it isn't the drink, but it's when you take them outside. Why? Why is that? So a person could bring a guest into the house. A person give them all the food and all the drink, set up the bedding, do everything that they need. But that's not enough. That's not a big deal. The biggest, highest form of achnasas orchim is when you take them out of the house. You take those 5-6 steps and you walk them out onto the street. That is the highest form. And he carries on, he says, As someone who doesn't do it, it's strong words. You know, he did so much in the house and he just stood by the door and didn't go outside, or said, you know, left the house without actually taking him out. Why is such a strong word to the Rambam? So Rav Hutda, I heard when I was in Gateshead, that we used to go to Shurim from Vadim from Rav Todras Miller, he explained like this. He said that if you're doing the middle of Rachamim, so the middle of Rachamim is, I'm looking after you, and how does a person feel? So the namadich sufer, you're embarrassed. The person's coming to your house, and they're feeling shy, embarrassed by everyone coming to them and doing and doing and doing. But then, the moment that you escort them out of the house, the moment you've taken them out, what have you shown them? You've shown them, you're my privilege. It's been amazing to have you in my house. You are my honor. You are so important to me. It was like having a queen in my house. You are my guest of honor. And therefore, that's what makes it so special, the mitzvah of Achnasa Sarachim. But I heard from Rav Ruderman a bit deeper. Rav Ruderman, he takes it a step further and he says, when you take someone out of the house, then it's megalele mafreya that everything that you did was a zchus for me. It's not sure that was the last thing, that's an extra nice thing. But when you do that, that makes everything that you did till then the most special thing in the world. It's megalele that the food and the drink made it even more special for me. You were so important. I took you out of the house, and then all the food, all the drink, all the preparations for the guests now moves up to a whole higher level, because you escorted them out of the house. And that's why it's so important to do that last step, because it changes the whole act of Achnasa Sarachim to a much higher darga.
Sorry, why is it Shvi'as
Dumim though? Yeah.
If you don't,
it happens to be that the, I haven't got it here, but the Rashi says, Rashi says that it's a Vilna Gaon that says when you don't do all three, it's Achila Shtia and Levoi. If you don't have it, then it's Eish. Why? Because you made the person feel horrible. It's like embarrassing someone, Kilo. But you've embarrassed someone that they feel so embarrassed and debited to a person, you feel needy, that's how you make them feel.
You give them confidence to fend off by attack now.
Pardon?
You give them confidence to fend the attack, that's why they're like Maruf, because they didn't see the
riot. Yeah. So now, with all that, how did Avraham Avinu discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do you find HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do you find the truth in the world? So the Satma Rebbe, a person whose husband, the wife had passed away, was making a chasana. So he asked the Satma Rebbe, I want you to come to my chasana that I'm making for my daughter. So the Rebbe said, listen, if I would go to a wedding every single night, I'd have no time to see people. But at the same time, I want you to come at 2 o'clock in the morning to my house. After the chasana is finished, I want you to come to me. So it's a bit strange, you know. So that night, the chasana took place. At 2-3 o'clock in the morning, after the mitzvah times, after the chasana, there's a knock on the door. And there's someone, the gabba there, he opens the door and he says, I'm here to see the rabbi. The rabbi told me to come after the wedding. And the rabbi sits there with this man. And so he says, Noah, how was your daughter's wedding? She said, yeah, Baruch Hashem, it was very nice. And this man is just waiting for the mazel tov. He's waiting for the bracha. She was zeichet to have been in Adayad. And the Rebbe says, no, tell me about the chuppah. Tell me what the songs they sang. So he tells him about the songs. He said, tell me about the flowers. Who was there? And the Rebbe is asking all these questions and goes through the chuppah. After the chuppah, he says, tell me about the dinner as well. So he starts telling him, at what time did everyone arrive? How was the food? Was it the way you liked it? And this man sits there for 2 hours talking to this Rebbe, talking to the Satmar Rebbe. So after he left and the Rebbe finished off with his brachas, so the Gabba there, he said, you know, Rebbe, you would have gone to the chasna, it would have been a covert for him. You would have gone in for 5 minutes, everyone would have danced, you'd have wished, and you'd have left. It wouldn't have taken that long. But now you spent 2 hours at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning with him. It took much longer. Why did you do it that way? So the Rebbe said like this, it's so beautiful. He said that if I would have gone to the chasna, it would have been nice. I would have gone, danced, would have been covered for him, would have been happy. And then at 2 o'clock in the morning, he'd go home. He'd go home to empty house. And the way you want to digest, you want to relive it, you want to process the wedding and talk about everything about what happened at the wedding. And he would have gone home to an empty house. So I told him at that point, come to my house. So you shouldn't go home and have that feeling that I'm going home to an empty house. So you have the ability to be able to process that with someone else. That's ru'iyas zulosai. According to Revolba, that's the middle of chesed. So seeing what another person needs. That means living outside of yourself. If you live a selfish life, you're never able to see outside of yourself. You can never see the needs of another person. But ru'iyas zulosai, when you live for someone else, when you think outside of yourself, when you're not the center of this world, then you're able to see exactly what another person's needs are. You're straight away running to what another person needs. So how do you find a Kodesh Baruch Hu that way? And the answer is that the number one midah, according to Rambam, of a human being is the midah of Chochmah, is the midah of wisdom. Chesed is who we're made out of. You go into the Gemach books, I love my Shabbos meals when I have secular guests. I love showing them the Gemach book of Manchester. And the Yerushalayim one is a book. In Manchester, it's a Kiddush Hashem. You show them every single Gemach that people have thought of. It's unbelievable. That's who we made out of. Rachmanim, Baishonim, Goyim, Mechasodim. But the number one midah is Chochmah. Now how do you reach that level of Chochmah? Chochmah, the way you find the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is living outside of yourself. You'll never ever find the truth. You'll never find the truth if you're only thinking about yourself. The midah of emunah to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only when you're living and looking for the truth. You're looking for something deeper in this world. That's a prerequisite to find the truth. The only way you can find what's real in this world, to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is living a selfless life. Living for other people. Living deeper. Thinking deeper. It's living outside of yourself. And that's how Avraham Avinu was that reached a level of fanaticism. That craziness for chesed. Because that's what he was all about. Living for other people. And Memela, that same midah, is the way he found the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That same midah is the way he found Hashem. I need to look deeper. It doesn't make sense. I'll ask more. Avodah Zarah is about myself. Kodesh Baruch Hu is one in the world. It's living outside of yourself. With responsibility for the world. For changing the world. That all comes from those same two midas. You know, Rambam, he writes that there was never a kehila without kupat tzedakah. There was gemach of filah in society. That's what Klal Yisrael were. There's midah, that midah from Avraham Avinu. And we also know that Yid have always been obsessed with education. From right to left, Jews have had this obsession with wisdom, with education. Both of these stem from the midah of Avraham Avinu. I had a friend, Rabbi Yitzi David in London, when he was living in Eretz Yisrael. So it was sukkahs time. So many people are living outside in their sukkahs. He was living on the fifth floor, and it was one night of sukkahs, and his kids wouldn't go to sleep. It's crying away throughout the night. And about 3 in the morning, when they can't get the child out of control, there's a knock on the door. So, you know, he looks through the keyhole, the peephole, and he sees that it's one of his neighbors in the pajamas. So he thinks that, you know, the neighbor's going to come and complain, you cannot control your child, you cannot keep your child asleep. The whole building has to hear your child scream. He doesn't really answer the door. So the next morning he sees his neighbor, and, you know, he walks past, he's a bit embarrassed that he didn't answer the door the night before. And the neighbor says to him, you know, Akoba said, is everything okay? So he says, what do you mean? He goes, no, I heard your kid crying. My kid was crying. So he said to him, I came upstairs because I wanted to give your child medicine. So he said, what do you mean? So he said, the week before, our child had fever, and there was no pharmaceuticals, there was no chemist nearby, we didn't have a car. So we got medicine. And it sounded like your child had obviously caught it. So therefore, I wanted to come and give it to you now in the middle of the night. A person who thinks about himself, and you hear crying in the middle of the night, you're thinking someone's disturbing me, someone's bothering me. But someone who realizes ulasa is someone who thinks outside of himself. He's able to see the needs of another person. He's able to think, what can I do for someone else? So we finish off with something which is beautiful from on the same parasha. It's a vart which I heard from Menach Weinberg, who was a Rosh Yeshiva of Esh. So you go back to the beginning of the parasha, or beyond the beginning of the parasha, and there's three parts at the beginning of Vayera. There's the first part where Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem appears to Avraham Avinu. Then you have the second part, which is the Avraham meeting these guests, these angels and the Malachim. And then you have the dialogue after that between Avraham Avinu and Sodai. So there's three Mahalchim over here, how to learn up this parasha. So the first one, most obvious possibility, is Shittas Rashi over here. So Rashi says there's three sections. The first one is Akash Baruch Hu B'Mavakar Cholim. After that is the angels, they're coming to tell that Sarah is going to have a child. And then you have the third part, which is the dialogue between Avraham Avinu demanding justice and HaKadosh Baruch. That's Shittas Rashi. The Rambam in Moira, he says there's two scenes. He says the Vayera of Hashem was just a heading for what was about to happen. So the visit of the angels and the dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was all one thing. That was all Vayera Olav Hashem, it was all Malachim, it was all something which was above nature. But Be'etim was just two parashas going on over here. And then we have the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that Avraham Avinu is having a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're talking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to speak. Vayera Olav Hashem, Hashem is about to speak to him. And then what happens? Avraham Avinu says, I'm sorry, these guests, I'm going to have to stop this conversation. I have to stop the conversation and go and speak to these travelers who are outside. And only when they've departed, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's conversation carries on with Avraham Avinu. Picture this scene. You know, Avraham is having a nevuah with Hashem. You know, you're with the Gadol Hador. You're having a private conversation with the Gadol Hador. And in the middle, three stragglers are outside, and you say, no, I need to stop this conversation in order to treat three people outside. This is your moment. This is what you've been waiting for, to have that private conversation with Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's he doing now? He's stopping this to go and treat to these guests. So the Gemara says, God al achnasus orchim lekabel pnei hashchina. The greatest achnasus orchim lekabel pnei hashchina. How can that be? How can it be that's greater than speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're having nevuah, you're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To go and look at achnasus orchim can be more than that. How can it be something greater than speaking to the Shechina? And said Rav Noach, he said, greater than talking to Hashem is being like Hashem. To emulate Him. The most powerful way, people ask, how do you become dovok to Hashem? How do I become close to Him? And the answer that's given is, the way you get close to Him is not measured in a physical way. You don't come close to Hashem. It's measured in ruchnius. The closer you are in the way you are as a human being, then you yourself become more dovok. Then you yourself understand more who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And therefore, the more doimah to Hashem you are, the more you understand who He is. The more of a Baal Chesed you are, the more you understand that Hashem created this world with Chesed. Avraham Avinu was able to find Hashem because he was a Baal Chesed. You understand? Why was this world? What's the purpose of everything? Why was this world created? Why was this world created? But when he became such a Baal Chesed, he understood the middle of Hashem of Ritzoyna Yisparach Lehitiv. All Hashem wants to do is give and give and give. Now, if you're a self-centered person, how can that be just to want to give? But the moment you become the greatest Baal Ches in the world, the most selfless person in the world, then it makes sense. It's Olam Ches Yisbol, I need to do it for someone else. So Avraham Avinu understood what Hashem wants from us in this world is to become doime to Him. It's the closest way you can become to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and reach a level of dveikus is Mahu Racham Afatzo Chanun. Mahu Chesed Afatzo Chesed. That's how you become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to appreciate Him, if you want to understand what it means to love and care like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and even if you're sick, if you're 99 years old, you've just had Bris Mila, you'll be outside. Because a day in my life without chesed means I haven't reached a level of kulay chesed. There's something lacking in my life. It's not just rachum, it's chesed. Needing to do for someone else. I'll finish off with this. Tzar Shalom of Bells says something amazing. He says in the beginning of the parsha, it says, "Vayisa'inu v'yav hinei shlosha anashim nitzavim olav." They're standing over him. These three angels are standing over Avraham Avinu. And then at the end, in Pasuk Ches, it says, "Vikachem b'v'chol b'bokar ashot v'itelhem v'hu oimed aleihem." And Avraham Avinu is standing over them. He's standing above them. Says the Tzar Shalom that at the beginning, when the visitors, the Malachim, when they came, they were higher than Avraham Avinu because they were angels, and he was just a mere human being. But when he gave them food and drink and shelter, then he stood higher than them. That was Ruhu Oymed Aleh. Avraham Avinu had become higher than Malachim. Through his middah of chesed, by him becoming doyme to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he became greater than Malachim through his choices. Just before the Yom Tovim, in London, there was someone shopping outside, someone shopping in Westfield, not to be mistaken with Whitefield, and this woman who had been shopping, she had her bags full, she'd been shopping for the Yom Tovim, and there's this girl who's there, doesn't know that she has much, and she's collecting. This woman's got all her bags. She thinks to herself, let me stop for a moment. She's about to put into her wallet and give some money to this girl. And she says, you know, why stop there? Takes her into the shops over there, the fancy shops, the Prada, the Gucci's, and buys some clothes. Let her look good for the Yom Tovim. After that, she thinks, you know, why stop there? Why just give those clothes? I'll go and get a hair done. Take it to the hair salon. There, gets her hair done. She should look good, geschmack. Feel like a friend, Yom Tov. And she says, why stop there? Let me also go and get some food for her. And stuffs her bag with food. So she should go home, put some food for her family, for herself. Gives her £100 on top of it. And then, just before she's about to leave, the girl says, can I ask you a question? And the girl says, and then this lady says, for sure, you can ask me whatever you want. And the girl says, are you God? Are you God? So this girl's, this lady's a bit taken aback. So she says, what do you mean? Can you explain the question? And she says, I was always brought up that Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is chesed, rachamim, loving, caring, all good, all good. Are you God? And this lady, she stops for a second. And then she answers. She says, I might not be God, but I'm one of his children. That's becoming domet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the middle of chesed that's required of us to think deeper. What's the emes? When we learn Gemara, the reason why we're learning Gemara is to find emes in this world. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? Where's emes in this world? What our chiyuv in this world is the middle of chesed. To be able to think, what do other people need? It's my obligation. A day without chesed, when we haven't done something, it's a felt. There's something missing in our cheshvan nefesh of the day. That's the depth of who Avraham Avinu was. To reach a level of above Malachim, to be doymeh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Good job.